from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. The Word of God from Romans chapter 8, again, starting at verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact God's Spirit dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is God's Word. Please be seated. It's always a thrill to see somebody famous in the flesh. 5 years ago, we were on the eighth grade class trip to Philadelphia with our daughter Rachel and her class, and we were at the 30th Street train station waiting for it to catch a train to begin our ride back home, when who should make an appearance but Danny Bonaducci. Not impressed? He played the part of He played the part of Danny Partridge, you know, in the Partridge Family television show back in the early 70s. And of course, all the kids didn't know who he was. All of us old timers were whispering and pointing and staring at him. Is that Danny Partridge? And we actually went over to him and we asked if it was really him, and it was, and we snapped a few pictures. So there's Rachel with Danny Bonaducci. It's always a thrill to see somebody famous in the flesh. Way back when I was in college, I was on a choir trip to Washington, D.C., and I got to see the Supreme Court in session. And right there, in front of me, right there in the flesh, there were people like Thurgood Marshall and Harry Blackmun and William Brennan. All these people I read about in newspapers and magazines, and there they are in the flesh. And I was so in awe of being there that when the court recessed, I forgot to stand up to honor the court. And some officer of the court comes down the aisle, he grabs my arm, he just pulls me right up out of the bench. It's such a thrill to see famous people in the flesh. When we saw Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in Detroit, we were so close to the stage that Donny Osmond's sweat almost fell on us. It's always a thrill to see somebody famous in the flesh. Except, of course, for what God's Word says about the flesh. Because in the Bible, the flesh is not exactly impressive. It's a term that is used to refer to the sinful nature, and Paul uses it many times in this text, over and over again. The flesh, and it's bad. To live in the flesh is to live a life of contempt for God and a love of sin, and that's not good. However, by contrast, to live in the Spirit is to live for God. And it even sounds holy, doesn't it? Life in the Spirit. Of course, our problem is that flesh gives birth to flesh. My parents were sinners, and so what? So am I. And so my natural inclination is always to live in the flesh. And that means, as Paul says, that I'm always setting my mind on the things of this flesh. I'm always pursuing fleshly interests as my first love by nature, instead of putting my mind on the things of the Spirit. And what does life look like in the flesh? It's not pretty. It looks like selfishness, for one thing. Instead of thinking about you, I'm always thinking about myself. And so I hoard things while others go hungry. I cheat at your expense. I tear you down to try to make myself feel better about me. I covet what is yours. Life in the flesh looks like immorality, whether it's adultery or fornication or theft or abortion or addiction or lying or gluttony. I'm always wanting to indulge my flesh and do what seems and feels right to me. And then very often, life in the flesh is also marked by strife in our relationships. Because I'm not the only one that's living in the flesh, so is everybody around me. And everybody else is selfish and immoral too. And so we're always butting heads, trying to get the upper hand, to gain the advantage, to be first, to have it our way. It's like a man who was stopped by the police officer at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the officer said to him, "Where are you going at this time of night?" And the man replied, "Well, I'm on my way to a lecture about alcohol abuse, smoking, and staying out late, and the effects that has on the body." And the officer said, "Really? And who's giving that lecture at this time of the night?" And the man replies, "That'd be my wife." Not that I have those particular issues in this flesh, but I have my share, believe me. I have plenty. And I wonder if anybody really knew me, would they be at all enthused or excited about seeing me in the flesh? And I think about my wife, who has to put up with my sinful flesh every day of her life for the rest of her life. Poor lady. Living in the flesh is not pretty. It's the opposite of pleasing God. It is really a form of idolatry that considers the gratification of the flesh to be the highest good in life. It really is a form of slavery, if you think about it. You've seen so many people ruin their lives because of their desires of their flesh. It's a desire so powerful within us that people will risk their reputations and their relationships and their careers and even their own health rather than live by the Spirit. Think of former Congressman Anthony Weiner. And when your life is controlled by the flesh, your spirit is dead. And eternal death is the end of the road. So, is God telling us here that all life in the flesh is all evil, and that as long as we are flesh and blood people in this world, that we cannot possibly be pleasing to our Father in heaven? Is the flesh pure evil, so much so that our ultimate goal is to escape this flesh forever? Is it impossible to live in the Spirit, in the flesh? No. Paul says no, 1,000 times no. Look to Jesus. He came in the flesh. The Word became flesh, born of a virgin. Fully God, but also fully human. He was born. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He ate. He drank. He suffered. He felt pain. He died. Fully human, which if nothing else demonstrates that God considers our humanity to be a good thing. It's the way He made us, spirit and flesh. If God had not wanted us to live in these bodies, in these fleshly bodies, He would have made us like the angels. But we aren't angels. We are human beings. We are spirit and flesh. Now, of course, our flesh has been corrupted, but that doesn't mean that it is inherently evil and that we have to discard this flesh in some cosmic trash can. The Savior came in the flesh to redeem the flesh, to redeem the flesh and the spirit, and to save us from the corruption of the flesh so that once again we can experience our humanity as God always meant from the beginning. He wants you one day to experience your humanity the way Adam and Eve experienced it in paradise. Flesh and blood, life in close, intimate fellowship with the Father and the Creator. Life in the Spirit, in the flesh. And to make that possible for us, Jesus, our flesh and blood Savior, lived His life in the Spirit, in the flesh, and He pleased His Father in every way and became the perfect sacrifice to take away the stench in God's nostrils of the corruption that has infested our flesh. And as those who've been called to faith in Christ, we are no longer in the flesh, as Paul says. That is, we no longer live according to the sinful nature. Now we live in the flesh, in the Spirit, according to this new nature that we've been given in Jesus Christ. So listen again, once again, to these great words from St. Paul. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So I asked earlier, you know, what flesh looks like, or what life in the flesh looks like, and it's not a pretty thing. So I'll also ask this question: what does life in the Spirit in the flesh look like? Well, for one thing, it's a constant fight. My corrupted flesh, I live my life in the Spirit, and yet my corrupted flesh still clings to me. As we sang in the hymn, it encases me, and it's powerful. And sometimes I lose the skirmishes against my flesh. The flesh wins over my spirit. And it's frustrating to me that I can't get my act together, that I can't do better than that. But that frustration with yourself, that frustration with your flesh, is actually a healthy sign that the life of the Spirit is in you. It's when you give up the fight. It's when you yield completely to your flesh. It's when you are no longer frustrated with your flesh. That's when the battle is lost. Because those who are in the flesh cannot please God, Paul says. So life in the Spirit, in the flesh, is a battle. It's a fight every day. Which also means that life in the Spirit, in the flesh, is a life of confessing that you've got this flesh problem, and of fleeing to the infinite mercy of God and imploring His forgiveness, which of course He freely dispenses on account of Christ. Life in the Spirit, in the flesh, is a life that sets your mind on the things of the Spirit through your worship and through your prayers and devotion and through confession and absolution and coming to the Holy Supper, because through these things God is pouring His love into your heart to set you free from the death that is your flesh. And then, having been forgiven, life in the Spirit, in the flesh, looks like Christian service. It looks like diligence in your God-given vocation. It looks like loving your neighbor. It looks like generous living and giving. And it looks like lots and lots of thanksgiving and a peaceful death, just like your Savior. Then, in the resurrection, Paul says, your flesh will be raised. Did you catch what Paul said at the end of this reading? He said, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. In the resurrection, your flesh will be raised incorruptible, Paul says in Corinthians. And we will see the Savior in the flesh, glorified and yet still bearing the marks of His crucifixion. And then, and only then, will we experience our humanity as humanity is meant to be experienced. Can you even imagine what it's going to be like to live life in the flesh, free from the corruption of the flesh? I can't even begin to imagine what that's going to be like, but that's our destiny, and it's exciting. But until then, Paul says, Christ is in you. And although your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, the righteousness that is yours through Christ. So set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And maybe next time, people will be a little more excited about seeing you in the flesh. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.